field. I'm a third year medical oncology fellow at Brown University in the Legarreta Cancer Center in Providence, Rhode Island, with an interest in melanoma and early phase clinical trials. And I'm going to be staying on as a faculty member here in a few months, specializing in that. And then very happy to be talking today with Dr. Carvajal. If you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah. So my name is Rich Carvajal. I'm a medical oncologist. I'm the deputy physician in chief here at the Northwell Health Cancer Institute. From a disease focus, I do focus on melanomas with a particular interest in rare subtypes of melanomas and, done work in early phase drug development.
Great. It's so nice to be able to carve out some time to talk to you today. And I think that the primary focus of our conversation is going to be on the recent FDA approval of tumor infiltrating lymphocytes, which has been a long time coming. I guess just your off the hand opinions on this therapy, where it's going to fit into the treatment paradigm for melanoma patients.
Yeah, this is so huge. You know, I mean, right, this therapy is the first cell therapy to be approved for solid tumors. I think one, it's really cool that this is another first for the melanoma field, right?
Yeah,
it's
it leads the
another
way.
that the melanoma leads the way, right? So we've done checkpoint inhibition, bispecifics for uveal cell therapy. So a lot of firsts for melanoma. But it's also really remarkable how long this therapy has been in development for.
Right.
The history of this is amazing.
I would love to hear your perspective on that, because this was really something that was conceived at the NIH, it's been decades, and now we're finally able to roll it out to the broader community. I mean, what's your perspective on that development?
I think, kudos to Steve Rosenberg for really, believing in this and pushing this forward, right? What a complicated therapy. He's been working on this since the 80s.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive, and I mean the commitment to not giving up on that as a potential modality to treat patients, it's pretty remarkable.
It's really remarkable. And I think for me, Matt, for you, for all of us, it just shows you how hard this is. It's 30 years.
No,
to
absolutely.
This.
And I guess for people who may not be familiar with tumor infiltrating lymphocytes, the process here is you take the tumor out of patients, you harvest the lymphocytes from the tumor, you expand them ex vivo, and then you give them back to the patient. I think what I've seen anecdotally is it's about a 2 to 3 week process. Has that been your experience?
Yeah. So this, the process has been standardized quite nicely here. What have been historically some of the challenges with this? One, patient selection has always been really a big deal. And this is one of the big challenges, I think, with the development of this sort of concept, right? One, you have to have a patient who has harvestable tumor, right? Someone who can, undergo the surgery, get a big enough tumor to extract the T cells. And then after that, the patients have to have enough time to wait, right? They have to be able to kind of live long enough to expand those T cells, which, used to take a long time.
Right.
So, right now with lifileucel, now it's a 21-day process. And most patients can wait for that. You have the lymphodepletion beforehand, then the cells, and you have to wait for the recovery. So it's definitely still a process. Selection is still really important. This is not a therapy that you're going to be able to give to everyone.
Right. And this isn't the type of therapy where, if someone's having rapid disease progression and needs to start something quickly, this is not the therapy we're going to be turning to. But for those maybe slower growing, have some time, has the appropriate tissue, this is someone. And this is a therapy that in the trial, it was proven to be pretty effective in post-checkpoint inhibitor patients, which is a population we really struggle to treat.
This is the first therapy approved for that indication. What do we do after checkpoint blockade is ineffective, or after BRAF, if they have a BRAF mutation? This is it. This is all we have. And the outcomes are really good, right? So you have response rates, about a third of the patients get radiographic responses. You look at the expanded data set, over half of those responses are lasting over a year, right?
Right, yeah. It's remarkable.
And right, we still have to see how many of these are going to translate to kind of that cure that we're after, but it will be some of them.
Right. One thing that I've been curious about, and I mean, yeah, to your point, I mean, if you have BRAF wild type disease, or if you have progressed on checkpoint inhibitors and targeted therapy, I mean, we really don't have anything outside of clinical trials. Now we have TIL therapy, but I mean, there hasn't been historically. Do you think there's going to be any challenges in, because one of the things that I've thought about with some of these more novel therapies is, can we roll this out to a broader population in the country, and not just silo these types of therapies into big academic medical centers? Do you think that's going to be possible in the future, or do you think this is going to be the type of therapy where people are really going to have to make it to bigger centers to get treated?
Oh gosh, I hope the answer is the former, that we are able to give access m more locally, but that's not going to happen. Certainly, that's not going to be their near term.
Right.
I remember when, for instance, ipi/nivo was first approved, or even just checkpoint blockade. That was something that people were nervous about in the community, given.
Right.
So it took some time before people got comfortable doing that. This is a complicated therapy.
Yeah. No, yeah, it absolutely is. And I think that's the other thing too. I've found I'm very interested in immunotherapy toxicities, and I think that's one thing is, as we start to give more and more of these, even like in the uveal melanoma world, things like tebentafusp, with CRS monitoring and things like that, the toxicities are getting quite complicated. Immunotherapies, antibody drug conjugates, overlapping between the two in certain solid tumors, and then we have these novel therapies. I could see that as being a challenge too if you roll this out to more community centers, because there's a lot of toxicity to manage too that's pretty nuanced and pretty complicated.
I do think I think in the near term the answer is that it's just going to be at kind of select centers. People will travel for this. People will self-select, right? Who are going to get this therapy? But as cell therapy becomes more prevalent, right? We've got six CAR Ts approved for heme malignancies, and more in development. So this will become more widespread. That's going to take a period of time.
All right, absolutely. Do you think that I guess we can kind of wrap up with this. The paradigm in melanoma and solid tumors has been to push towards combinations. So we came up with ipilimumab, then we combined it with nivolumab, LAG-3 with nivolumab. Again, another the most recent checkpoint inhibitor, melanoma led the way again there. So, do you see in the future therapeutic combinations with TIL? Do you think it'll make sense to combine with a checkpoint inhibitor or some other therapy, or do you think it really will be something that sort of stands on its own?
I like the idea of the combinations. And so, in fact, Iovance is going for a first line indication. So, there are trials now of PD-1 plus TILs in the frontline setting where, in the data that's been generated so far, the responses seem to be a little bit better with the combination. So that, in fact, may be better. So I think we will see. Combination makes a lot of sense. And we'll know the answer in a few years.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I mean, this is a remarkable time. As someone who's just finishing up my training now, it's an unbelievable time to be training, given just how rapid and how many therapeutic options that continue to be developed every year, and this is one of them. I mean, this is a monumental thing for solid tumor oncology to have the first cellular therapy approved, and as you said earlier, as two people who think a lot about melanoma, it's very exciting to be a part of that community as well, and lead the way. So this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining, and I hope our listeners were able to learn something from this.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.